Matters.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of the program here on Tuesday morning. And coming up in the next hour, new City Council President Shane Burgo joins us. And we'll get his thoughts on what he thinks that position means and what his plans are for the year. I will also invite him. And I know, you know, he also has a work schedule that may not be conducive to regular appearances. But I will extend to him the same invitation that I have extended to the past three city council presidents, at least in the time that I've been on the air. So when I first took over the 9 to noon spot, I had regular segments with then city council president Ian Abreu. Then the year after that, I had Linda Morad as the council president. She joined me each week. Even as I made the time change from the mid-mornings to the morning show. And I did offer it to Councillor Carney as well, but her work schedule did not allow for her to be able to join us. So I don't know that Council President Burgo's schedule will allow, but I will offer him the same opportunity to join us on a weekly basis and update us on all the council business. But the meeting last night was very interesting. You can read about it at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, or you can actually watch it on the city's website. The vote, as we knew going into this, Ward 1 Councilor Leo Chiquette had said that he was going to nominate Ward 3 Councilor Sean Oliver for council president. And so we were looking to see how different councilors would vote. But it was pretty clear going into the night that that Councilor Burgo had the votes that he needed to be the city council president. And he ended up getting that position 7-4. The four councilors who voted against him were councilors Ian Abreu, Leo Chiquette, Joe Lopes, and Sean Oliver. And Brian Gomes, the longest serving councilor, gave an impassioned speech in which he chastised the media, mentioned Jack Spillane by name, and then spoke about radio moderators. I'm going to assume that he's speaking about Chris McCarthy, who, as you know, has been very vocal in asking for the audience to call their counselor and ask for them to vote for Sean Oliver for president and to keep Shane Burgo from getting the council presidency. But Councillor Gomes spoke at length about the division that outside forces were trying to cause, but that the council would rise above that. He called Jack Spillane fake news, and he said the radio station moderators do not run the city council. The people of the city run the city council. What has transpired on the radio is sick. So, I guess there might, you know, I'm going to assume by that reaction that there were people who were calling the councilors and asking for them to consider voting for Councillor Oliver over Councillor Burgo. I'm going to assume that people were listening and were actually doing that. And if they weren't, I can't imagine that Counselor Gomes would be as upset about it. Because he's been in the game for a long time. And he knows that what we do is just give opinions and take opinions from you, and that those opinions don't really matter much. That in the end, you know, Chris McCarthy can come on every day and talk about how dangerous he feels that the political ideologies of Shane Burgo are, but it doesn't change the fact that he was the number two vote getter in the last election. Now, again, that comes with a caveat of how many people actually come out and vote in a city council election. But still, to those who are paying attention, Shane Burgo is very popular. And I don't think that he's done anything that's going to see those numbers dwindle in the next election. I mean, unless the numbers dwindle overall, unless people just don't come out to vote. But I still think he will remain one of the more popular counselors. Because there's this false notion, and I saw it in some of the comments last night, this false notion that America has overwhelmingly rejected these progressive policies. No, they haven't. No, they haven't. The people who are of the progressive mindset have only been galvanized. And you will see over the next 4 years, because we will have a conservative presidency, more people will be motivated into that mindset. I'm not saying that progressives are going to take over the world. I'm just saying it's not as defeated as people are trying to make it seem. And as such, Councilor Burgo will remain a very popular figure. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing, Gilly?
I'm doing fine, but I want to talk about Brian Gomes.
Okay.
You know, he gets up there, but you know his problem is he showboats so many times that he forgets what he has said in the past. I want to read you a thing that it was in the Standard Times back in 2015 when him and Linda Morad were running for the presidency. And it states like this: I've been here a long time to be disrespected by the way I have gone shouted at another point, accusing Morad of spreading false rumors over the past 2 months that he made backroom deals to win enough votes for the presidency. I've never said Brian Gomes made a deal, Morad said by phone later Thursday night. And I didn't say that tonight. Gomes has refuted the notion of deal making since January, after he named the 2015 council committees late that month and appointed Ward 6 councilor Joe Lopes as chairperson of the influential financial committee rather than Morad, who held that position last year. Okay? So there's a thing. You took a shot at Linda. Morad told the Standard Times that Gomes was vindictive, not a nice guy, and made and mad that she got 5 votes for council president. Gomes called those statements ridiculous at the time and said he had respect for every councilor. Okay, now I'm going to give you a little more information on every councilor. He's on record, okay, when Scott Lima was on the council. You can hear him on tape calling him a scumbag because he voted against him in the chambers on a live mic. Okay, so don't. And what happens? Linda gets a presidency the next year. And what do you think she does? Instead of naming Brian Gomes the safety guy, You know who she named? Debbie Cuello. You trying to tell me that those people are working together? All of a sudden, Brian, like I had a sign that said, was Linda's lapdog. All of a sudden, they're friends. I mean, you know what I'm trying to say?
You're talking about something that happened 10 years ago now, and people can learn to get along and can learn to like each other better over the course of 10 years.
Tim, please. If they would have listened to me a long time ago, that would have never happened, because I told you, they're not working together, and the people they are getting, you know what, are the taxpayers of New Bedford. Okay, well, they're the ones that don't get what they get, you know, they're supposed to get from the city council. No fighting among themselves. That was ridiculous of all the stuff that's been going on lately.
But what do you see that's not getting done?
What do I see that's not getting done?
Yeah.
Well, how many times did the mayor put a motion on there that on the agenda to... in case he leaves, to put somebody in place. Have they done that yet?
But is that the council versus the mayor, or is that councilors infighting amongst each other? I don't see anything that's happening with the councilors fighting amongst each other. That's causing
the problem. People haven't been listening to me, but everything is coming true. So, okay. And another thing, you know, it's ridiculous that all fighting. Brian Gomes has attacked everybody. Linda Morey has attacked. You know, John Saunders used to protect Brian Gomes. Now Linda's protected him. It's ridiculous. Get Linda Morey off that council, and you'll see how everybody works together.
All right. Well, thank you for the call.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day. And if you want to call in and chime in, you can. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. So, as I mentioned, the vote took place last night, 7-4 in favor of Shane Burgo, with counselors Abreu, Choquette, Lopes, and Oliver voting instead for Counselor Oliver. And then after that vote took place, Counselor Gomes asked for a unanimous vote of the council in support of Burgo for presidency after he had won, to show support and solidarity in the spirit of cooperation for all of the work that they have to do going forward in 2025. He asked for a unanimous vote, and still in that vote, Counselor Choquette and Oliver voted no. Counselors Abreu and Lopes voted yes. So that'll be, I did not reach out to any of the counselors. I'm sure we will hear from them on Chris's show, whether today or in the future. But I'd be interested in finding out, you know, at that point, after it was already a foregone conclusion, after Counselor Burgo had won the presidency, why did those two counselors still vote no? When this was really more just a symbolic gesture than anything else. So I think you've got certainly some differing opinions, but I don't think that that's going to impede the work of the council. I don't think you're going to see Counselor Choquette and Counselor Oliver being combative with Council President Burgo. I think you just saw them, you know, standing their ground on their belief that Council Oliver would be a better president. And I'm sure he'll get his chance to do so, and I'm sure he'll be great at it. But this time around, it was voted that it would be Councilor Burgo, and I don't think there's going to be any of the Burgo boogeymen coming to life. You won't have a tent city. You won't have rent stabilization or rent control, as some people like to characterize it.
you won't have, you know, Ash Street Jail is not going to turn into a flop house for former convicted felons to just hang out and do nothing all day and then go vote for people. These are all just the Burgo boogeymen that were designed to scare you into getting you to call your counselor and tell them to vote for Sean Oliver. And it didn't work. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Tim, I'm sorry you called back. You just said why those two people didn't vote for to make it unanimous?
Yes.
Okay, well, let me see. I remember a lot of things. Ask Linda Morad when John Saunders was being for the... They asked to make it unanimous. Linda Morad was the only one that said no to it. So that's why. They can do it. If she can do it, they can do it. So don't say why they didn't. That's the excuse. She didn't vote to be unanimous when John Saunders was going to do it for the second year. So let's call them all. That's why I told you. I remember too much in that there are a bunch of kids in that schoolyard. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And we also have, you know, as I mentioned, we're going to have Counselor Burgo on. And you're going to be able to call in with your questions. But we do have the app chat available if you want to send in questions ahead of time. You could send in the open line voicemails if you would like to. Sorry, I was just getting a message. I just had to see if there was something important. Sometimes I say things and people want to correct me, but it was not that. The discussion last night that, the acceptance speech, we'll call it, that Counselor Burgo gave, he spoke about, you know, the responsibility that he feels that position holds. And I got the sense, we can talk to him about it when he comes in, but I got the sense that he knows that you are a facilitator in that role. You are not setting policy. You are not directing policy. You are administrating. And that this is a chance for a person who has been very much an organized person to utilize those skills to best help the council. This is not some way to start implementing progressive agendas across the city, because it wouldn't work. How would it happen? How is a city council president going to start enacting all of these things that people are afraid that he's going to enact? I don't get it. I don't get why people believe that. I don't get why people buy into that. Now, he said that in 2027 he wants to run for mayor, and maybe at that time it's a little bit more plausible that as mayor he could put some of these things into effect. But even then, there's a lot of hoops to jump through in order to make it happen. You can say as mayor, we're going to create a homeless encampment in this particular spot, but you've got to get all the services on board with bringing people there and operating there. You've got to get all the people on board with going there and staying there. You can't force somebody to stay in a spot. We got a caller on hold, but hang on. I got to take a quick break. Let me take that break and we'll try to squeeze you in before the news. All right, let's take a quick call before we go into the newsroom with Phil. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Morning, Tim. I'll be quick. I figured I'd offer you a programming suggestion that I know it's always thrill. It must thrill you to hear an unsolicited suggestion, but here, go live with Howie and Levin. So clip an hour off in the afternoon, midday, and then pick up Howie live for 4 hours, Levin live for 3 hours, and turn the lights out at 2:05. What do you think?
Well, you know, I don't want to take time away from Barry, but I will say this. We do have a little bit of a programming change. Today we're going to try and see if we can have that first hour of Howie that we're not carrying run at 6 p.m. So if all works out correctly, you'll hear that first hour at 6 p.m. So you'll get to hear the whole show just a little bit out of order.
Sounded like they were working on making that easier to do for the affiliates. So anyway, good deal, Tim. Thank you.
All right. You have a good day. And, that's the plan, is that hopefully we have that happen today. It's just we've always carried Howie live, so we don't know what's going to happen when we try to record that first hour and play it back. Hopefully it works out. Looks like it'll work out, but we'll find out at 6 p.m. when it starts to run. So if that works out, it'll be nice and smooth. Also, if you are... You know, if you missed that first hour, the last couple of shows, and you want to be able to hear it, you can always catch Howie's podcast at HowieCarshow.com. Because Howie moved his time back. He's on 2 to 6 now live. So we missed the first hour because we have Barry on till 3. And now, hopefully, you'll hear that first hour just at 6 p.m. instead. So just be aware that during the 6 o'clock hour, whatever you hear, you can't call into Howie and react to, because that is previously recorded. All right, now it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Congress certifies Trump's election victory, Canada's prime minister stepping down, and a good ending for a well-dressed runaway monkey.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Congress convened Monday in the midst of a snowstorm to certify President-elect Donald Trump's election victory in a smooth and orderly process, a stark contrast to 4 years ago when throngs of Trump supporters breached security barriers at the U.S. Capitol and stormed the building to try to overturn the 2020 election results. Vice President Harris, who lost the election to Trump, oversaw the proceedings, certifying Trump's win and announcing the final tally, 312 to 226. Rudy Giuliani was found in contempt of court Monday for failing to properly respond to requests for information as he turned over assets to satisfy a $148 million defamation judgment granted to two Georgia election workers. Judge Louis J. Lyman ruled after hearing Giuliani testify for a second day at a contempt hearing called after lawyers for the election workers said the former New York City mayor had failed to properly comply with requests for evidence over the last few months. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced his resignation on Monday, saying he intends to step down from the top job and as the leader of Canada's ruling Liberal Party once a new party leader is chosen. Trudeau added he has one regret, failing to reform Canada's election process ahead of a general election expected this fall. An average of 10 million viewers tuned into the 82nd Golden Globes across CBS and Paramount Plus, according to Dick Clark Productions. That's roughly matching the audience for last year's broadcast. Before the pandemic, though, Globes typically drew closer to 20 million viewers. In 2020, 18.4 million people watched the Globes. McDonald's is scaling back its diversity and inclusion programs. The fast food giant is ending some initiatives following the Supreme Court's ruling against affirmative action in college admissions and a growing conservative backlash. The company will no longer set specific diversity goals for its senior leadership and will end programs aimed at increasing diversity among its suppliers. McDonald's will also pause external surveys, likely referring to those that measure workplace inclusion for LGBTQ+ employees. The decision comes after several other major companies, including Walmart and John Deere, rolled back their DEI initiatives. Hilda de Song of Belgium made history in 2024 by running a marathon every single day of the year, really pushing her physical and mental limits. De Song, a seasoned runner, raised over $67,000 for breast cancer research during the challenge. And while she faced numerous physical and mental hurdles, she persevered, emphasizing the importance of patience and gradual progress for aspiring runners. She's currently recovering from a minor injury, but plans to return to running soon. And a runaway monkey wearing a pink tutu was captured in Missouri just before a winter storm. The spider monkey escaped from a nearby home and was spotted at a busy intersection. Deputies successfully negotiated with the primate, returned it to its owner. Photos show the monkey approaching a deputy and grabbing his hands. The sheriff's office called it a good example of their adaptability, as the storm would have made the search much more complicated.
WBSM Sports.
Boston Bruins are home to play the Edmonton Oilers. That's tonight at 7. And the Celtics are away to play the Denver Nuggets. That game tonight at 10.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Mostly sunny on the South Coast today, a high of 31 degrees. We'll look for the same on Wednesday. On Thursday, some clouds move in. It's a bit windier, a high of 29. And as we head into the weekend, mostly sunny skies on Friday with a high of 35 degrees. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
If you have no loot, don't worry, because you can still get yourself a delicious lunch at Brack's Grill and Tap. Because at Brack's Grill and Tap, their lunch value menu is just $12.99 Monday through Friday. So what can you get on that lunch value menu? How about a half pizza and salad combo? What about the saucy bird chicken sandwich or their pasta of the day? And on a cold day like today, you can also warm up with Brack's famous brisket chili, their Portuguese kale soup, or their classic clam chowder. If you want some comfort food, how about a famous bourbon bacon burger, chicken and waffles, or barbecue turkey tips? All of that and more. They've even got a kids menu. So if you want to get yourself one of these $12.99 value lunches, well, all you got to do is go to Brack's Grill and Tap. They're located in Taunton and Brockton, and you can find out more at BracksGrillAndTap.com. I love the atmosphere at Brack's. I love the food at Brack's. And they've also got some very, you know, if you are looking for a very special drink, they've got some high-end stuff there. You got to check out at the one in Taunton. Take a look in the glass case, man. They've got some stuff in there that you're not going to see anywhere else. They've got some Louis XIV. They've got some Pappy Van Winkle. They've got all kinds of stuff in that glass case. Check it out. But anyway, $12.99 value lunch, Monday through Friday at Brack's Grill and Tap. Taunton, Brockton, and online at BracksGrillAndTap.com. And that's B-R-A-C-K, Brack's. All right, 508-996-0500 is my number if you want to call in and chime in. We will have Counselor Burgo with us. Coming up in the next hour, Council President Burgo. We will have tomorrow at 8:05, right after the 8 o'clock news, we will have Teresa Caputo, the Long Island medium, also the star of the show, Raising Spirit. She's going to be coming to Medford, Massachusetts, to the Chevalier Theater in February. So she's going to tell us what we can expect at that show. You can get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com, but I will give you the caveat that when you buy tickets to a Teresa Caputo show or really any show with a medium, it doesn't guarantee that you're going to get a reading. She'll go around the room and she'll pick up what she picks up, and it may be you, but it may not be you. But tickets start at just $49 and are available at Ticketmaster.com. And speaking of Ticketmaster and tickets, the lineup was announced for the 2025 Boston Calling. Oh, man, what a lineup they've got this year. I felt like last year it was more about new emerging artists. And this year they certainly have a lot of new emerging artists, but they've also got a lot of tried and true favorites. Public Enemy, Sheryl Crow, Dave Matthews Band, Vampire Weekend. This is going to be a hot ticket, so hopefully we'll be able to get some to be able to give away again this year as we have in the past. But it's going to be a hot ticket, and they go on sale to the general public. They're in pre-sale now, but they go on sale to the general public tomorrow morning. So keep that in mind if that's something that you are looking forward to. And it's a great venue. It's a great show. It's a great experience. I've gone the last 2 years, and I'm not a festival person at all. But it's not an annoying festival. Everybody's pretty chill, and it's easy to maneuver around. The hardest part is, you know, it's at Harvard. So you've got to get to Harvard. But then once you're there, navigating around is super easy. And this year, they're actually combining two of the stages together to make it even easier. So hopefully we'll get some tickets to give away to that. But I know we will be giving away tickets in the coming weeks to Sarah Silverman at the Vets in Providence. So stay tuned for that. Of course, all of our ticket giveaways here on the show are brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy. Located at 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. And they love over at Stevie's pairing great drinks with great music. So they're a perfect fit to sponsor these different shows that we give tickets away to. So again, 508-996-0500. We were talking about the meeting last night of the city council to elect their president for the 2025 year. The fact that Councilor at Large Brian Gomes spoke out against the way that the media had influenced the election or attempted to influence the election. He specifically named Jack Spillane, which is if you've been following along, you know that that's been an ongoing back and forth for many years. And he also referenced the radio station, the radio moderators. He did not name Chris McCarthy, but we know that it was Chris McCarthy that's been talking about it every day. And I don't know how many phone calls the councilors got. I don't know how upset the citizenry of New Bedford are about whether or not, you know, they have a say in the council presidency. We had some callers who didn't even know that this was something that was elected by the councilors themselves. Because it's just not something people generally pay attention to. But the Burgo boogeymen got people riled up of, you know, the idea that all of a sudden we're going to have rent control. We're going to have tent cities. We're going to have prisoners voting in large blocks and pushing progressive policies. And none of it's true. None of it's going to happen because none of it's realistic. But Councilor, now Council President Burgo, was just willing to have conversations about things. And I find it ironic that, you know, the same folks who blasted the counselor who was the chair of the special committee on housing and homelessness, they blasted him for not having meetings. That when he did have meetings and wanted to discuss ideas, now he's getting blasted for the ideas that he wants to discuss. When the idea of those meetings, of having a committee, is to explore different ideas. And part of exploring ideas means you're going to look into things that don't pan out. You're going to look into things that you decide are not a good way to go. And we'll get an updated stance from Council President Burgo on all of those things And we will get him to reiterate, as he did to Jack Spillane, that he is not about defunding the police. These are just things that you are being told that aren't true. 508-996-0500. We'll take a break here and be right back. All right, let's go to the phones. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, Tim. What's going on?
How you doing?
Not bad. Hey, so I had something a little heavy for the morning for you.
Okay.
It was just something that came across on the algorithm. What do you think? Want to go for it?
Sure, absolutely.
All right. So it came across the my Facebook feed, and it got me to think in regards to parental rights, child support, and abortion. And I started looking into the laws in the state of Massachusetts, and it seems to be heavy on the mother's rights and where the father really doesn't have any. So here's a scenario. A woman wants to have an abortion. The father has absolutely no choice in that decision, according to the laws of Massachusetts. So if the father wants to keep the child, it doesn't matter. She can terminate the pregnancy. Now, if she decides to have the child, the father is 100% obligated for child support, even if he signs over and relinquishes parental rights. So he relinquishes all his parental rights, so he has no decision on anything from medical to schools to how that child is raised, but he still is obligated to pay child support. But if he wants to keep the child and says, just relinquish all your rights to me, I'll take full custody of the child. I will provide 100% of everything that that child needs. You do not even have to pay for child support. He has no rights. I think that's completely one-sided. And as fathers, we need to actually start to balance the scales a little bit.
I mean, when I was, I was recently in divorce court, and there were fathers who were there who were arguing for the fact that, you know, they should have been entitled to some of money that the mother had coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just, I mean, I guess I can talk about it because I'm not naming any names, but there was a case of a man who was out of work, and he was, you know, he had, I don't know if it was 50% custody, but he had shared custody. And his wife had received a stipend from Social Security, a large sum of money. And he felt that he was entitled to some of that money because he was caring for this child for part of the time. And when he was working and he had money coming in, he had to give her money for her to take care of the child. And why shouldn't she have to give money to him to take care of the child?
Right. And how did that turn out for him?
Well, they continued. So they were trying to reach a settlement, and he didn't want to settle, so he asked for a trial. So they were going to go forward with a trial. I don't know what will happen from there.
Yeah. Well. All right. Yeah. I mean, there are cases where, you know, obviously with even alimony, where the woman has to pay the father, or the woman has to pay the husband, alimony even, because she makes more money. I mean, we'll take just for, you know. Just for fun, we'll take Tom Brady and Giselle. Technically, Tom Brady could ask for alimony from Giselle because she made more money than him.
Right.
But the reality is probably 80% of the time, if not more, the man makes more money than the woman. And when it comes to child support, men are usually the ones that have to pay for the child support, right? So my issue is men have no rights when it comes to being a parent until the baby is born. Once the child is born, it's 100% on decisions. But when it comes to everything else, when it comes to abortion, my biggest issue is abortion. Now, I'm a pro-choice individual, but it needs to be pro-choice on both sides. And if the father wants to be pro-life, the father, as long as there's no malfeasance on the father's side, you know, rape or anything like that, ridiculousness, I'm talking a legitimate relationship, I'm talking a legitimate child, the father wants to have custody of that, the woman should not be able to abort that child if the father wants to have full custody. It's definitively something that we need to really talk about as dads out there to take responsibility of these pregnancies. We're obligated by the state to actually take care of the child when the child's born. Even if we say we relinquish the rights, we have zero parental rights. The state of Massachusetts still says we have to pay. But the wife or the mother, they do not. They can terminate that pregnancy or give that child up for adoption. Say she doesn't want anything to do with the child, but she's pro-life and she doesn't have an abortion. She can relinquish and put that child up for adoption. And I think that's something that we need to really discuss as a society. On the dad's side, we need to fight for our side of the argument also. And I don't know why this came up on my algorithm. It's not something I usually pick, you know, I usually even look up. I don't even look up any of this stuff. But just something came up, parental rights, and I started looking into it, and it had me questioning. I'm like, dude, if I was to relinquish my rights, do I still have to pay child support? And in the state of Massachusetts and in most states, that's the case. I think that's unfair.
All right. Well, thank you for bringing it to our attention.
All right, Tim.
You have a good day.
Have a good one, buddy. Take care.
And I got to take one final break here for this hour. We will be right back. All right. In the final seconds here of the hour, we got an app chat message from NB Rez who says, on the topic of parental rights, I'm not sure if it has changed, but last I heard, women couldn't even get their tubes tied without their husband's consent. These rules and regulations definitely need to be reviewed and updated. All right.